You all talk very passionately about your work with children and young people. Liz, can you say something about the emotional impact the research has had upon you?
Yeah, sure. It's an interesting question and one that I've been reflecting on. And I was trying to think about whether pride was an emotion. And in working with children in a kind of very close way with them as writers, both at home and at school, I found myself becoming very proud of the work that they did and how they talked about it. So they would show me pieces of writing that they had done at home and at school. So that was definitely a feeling that I had. And then I found myself then when I was listening to teachers talk about the children quite challenged in lots of ways. I knew what the children said about themselves as writers at home and how they kind of felt that they were seen at school. And then what the teacher was doing was talking about the children and framing them as non-writers or daydreamers. But of course, I knew the other side of that. So I knew what the children had told me about why they were presenting as a daydreamer in some kind of way. So I was probably quite conflicted about whether I should say anything to the teacher about that. But I found myself probably feeling quite defensive of the children, but knowing that that wasn't the place to share that with the teachers. And one of the children that I worked with showed me a piece of writing which he termed viewpoint writing, which was actually a piece of writing taken from his perspective sitting in the back of a car, and he was looking out of a windscreen. So it's a very technical drawing. So when I looked at the writing, I imagined that he would say one thing about it. But actually what he said about it was that it was a piece of writing that he had chosen to do on the way to the hospital to visit a grandfather who was very ill. And so that obviously had an emotional impact on me, but it was definitely not the place for me to be sharing that emotion back. So it was his time and his space. So that idea that sometimes you have to keep your emotions in check when you're hearing some of the stories that children are sharing with you.
So a mixture of pride and challenge. Alison, is that something that you've similarly experienced?
Absolutely. And I was thinking about the work I was doing when we were creating the social charter with the mixed age range of children straight through from 11 through to their educators. And yes, feeling the pride of having created the safe space that children who were able to say things to their teachers or teachers around them that they hadn't been able to say in other spaces because they were telling about the power of peer groups that they were using for support, but worried that their teachers, if they'd spoken about them otherwise, would think that they'd been cheating. But also the responsibility that you have as a researcher to make sure that that safe space is actually safe. Some of the things that Liz has been picking up on, perhaps. And I think also what came with that was sort of really paying attention to the conversations all the time that were going on to sort of decide whether to intervene or how to manage those. And this particularly fed into the work with the disadvantaged children, which we're working on much larger scale, and feeling very frustrated when I wasn't able to create those sort of same safe spaces with working with sort of 90 children of the same age group but coming from different schools. There was some anger in the room. There was all sorts of issues being raised, and I sort of was really conflicted because the teacher in me, the educator in me, wanted to know those children, wanted to know how I should have been handling them, that perhaps this wasn't the right thing to be talking about and researching just now, and looking to their tutors and mentors as to how to sort of manage that. And working with them over time, that sort of eased as I managed to be able to get to know the tutors and mentors. But it was sort of that conflict between teacher and researcher.
So a conflict of identities, is that something that resonates with your work, Martin?
It certainly does. I mean, a lot of my research has been around quite sensitive issues around identity, care and relationships. And I think if you're researching those issues with anybody, your own experiences inevitably come into play, your own emotional experiences. But if you're interviewing young people, then it inevitably calls up memories of your own childhood and youth and can trigger quite powerful emotions. And at the same time, as Alison was saying, I think there are particular issues if you're researching socially disadvantaged or emotionally damaged children and young people. And I think I found it difficult at times not to be overwhelmed by sadness in the interview situation, by some of the experiences that they're sharing in interviews. But I'm also interested in this issue as a man researching other men. I think men are still quite conditioned to suppress their emotions in professional settings, including research settings, or maybe to squeeze the emotional element out of the work and put it to one side. And I think I have to work quite hard to acknowledge what's going on for me emotionally. I think you can't escape emotion when you're researching children and young people. The question is, what do you do with it? And I think it's really important to have a support structure so that you can reflect on those experiences with your fellow researchers and to be part of a team. And I think that's what makes good research for children and young people.